Good morning, church family. Would you turn with me to Matthew, the second chapter? As you do, I'm just going to tell you, you can thank my oldest son, Dustin, for bringing the Costa Rican weather with him this December. He flew in to visit with us this week, and he brought this 80-degree Christmas weather, so the balmy. It feels like we're either in Costa Rica or Miami. I'm not sure which it is, but if you would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to be focusing this morning again on the Christmas story. It is the season, and there are some things that I want you to watch and listen for. Look at some details, perhaps something that you missed before. As I've asked Jordan if he would read the scripture for me this morning to save my voice a bit. But I'm going to ask as he reads, watch each word. See if you pick out something that might be a little different from what you've noticed before. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Would you bless our hearts and our walk with it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated? You've heard this before, but we're going to reiterate it today. There are a couple of common misconceptions about the wise men. First of all, nowhere in the Bible does it say that there were three wise men, right? We know this. But every picture that I ever saw had three wise men. Every picture. Now, we think of it that way because they brought how many gifts? Three gifts. But there could have been many more wise men, or maybe just two. We know there was at least two because it says that wise men, multiple, came from the east. Now, they weren't present at the manger scene either. They weren't there the night that Jesus Christ was born, as the shepherds were. But they were at the manger on my mama's coffee table every year. My mom had a beautiful little set, and she would put them out on the table. She would put them out when she moved here close by. She would put them out on the table there. And I'm going to tell you, there were three wise men at the stable, at the place where Jesus was born, according to her manger scene. Now, but they weren't at the manger, not when Jesus was actually born, but they were on Mama's table. They first saw the star, dear friends, the night that Jesus Christ was born. The star appeared, And that's when they saw it. But, dear friends, they were in the east, probably Babylon, by all accounts, hundreds of miles away. They had to travel several months to bring their birthday gifts to Christ Jesus. That's why verse 11 that was just read said, they came to the house. Notice there verse 11. You have your Bible open? It says they came to the house, not to the manger scene, not to the stable. They brought their gifts not to the baby Jesus, but what does it say? The young child. Folks, there are people who try to use this type of misconception to discredit the Bible. Listen, it's not the Bible that's discredited. It's our reading, and it's our memories. That's why verse 11 said, they came to the house where they found the young child. This morning, we're going to focus not on any more of why they were there or when they were there, but we're going to look at the gifts that they brought. They are a theological statement of who Jesus is. These gifts were not indiscriminate, random gift, but each gift had an incredible significance and a special significance, symbolizing a special attribute of the one they were bringing their gift to. As they brought their gift to the Lord Jesus, they gave a testimony of who Jesus was and who Jesus is. They brought to him, say it with me, we know the order, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why is that so significant? First of all, they brought gold because they recognized Jesus Christ, this babe that they found in this home, as a sovereign king. They recognized him as sovereign. Jesus Christ was and is a king. Now, a lot of people have tried to explain this away, and they're saying that his sovereignty was only figurative. Listen, dear friends, God's word tells us pretty plainly that Jesus is king. First of all, he was declared king at his birth. We just read those scriptures from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where the Magi, these wise men, knew that this child was the king of the Jews. They prophesied one who was not just king, but was king of all kings. Secondly, he was declared not only king at his birth, he was declared king at his death. John chapter 19, verse 19, tells us that the governor Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross that Jesus was crucified on. That sign on the cross said this. Let me read that verse. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was this: Jesus of Nazareth, the what? The King of the Jews. He was declared king at his birth. He was declared king at his death. He was declared king long before this time. He was declared king by the prophets. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 says this: of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it. You do not have a government, you do not have a throne, and you do not have a kingdom unless you're what? A king. He was declared king by the prophets. He was declared king by the angels. We read that scripture, the Mobleys read this scripture earlier. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33 says this: he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And one more, he is going to be declared king by every person who has ever come into being. Not only was he born king, not only did he die king, not only was he pronounced king, but he, by these special people, by the angels, by the shepherds, by those around him, by the Lord, by the prophets, but he will be pronounced king by every person that has ever been brought into being. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Amen. That at the name of it, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all God's people said, not only has he been declared king since the beginning of creation, before his birth, at his birth, at his death, but folks, he is going to be pronounced king forever and ever. There is coming a day, dear friends, when every being from creation will bow on their knees and cry holy to the King of kings. I want you to listen to the witness of the Apostle John from the Revelation. Listen how he is going to be proclaimed king as well. Brother Jordan.
Revelation chapter 19, 11 through 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sing this with me. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is. You may not know this second verse, but sing it. And would you make it a personal call to God? You're my Lord. You're my Lord. You have risen from the dead, and you're my Lord. Will you do this?
Yes.
On my knees I bow, with my tongue confess that Jesus, you're my Lord. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, George. They brought him gold because he was a sovereign king. Secondly, they brought him frankincense because they recognized him as deity, as God. Verse 11 said, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and they worshiped him. Now, is it right to worship a man? Not usually, not usually, but there is one exception, amen? That's when he is the God-man, when he is Jesus Christ. the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who has come and has been born of man. These wise men who knew all the prophecies, who had studied the scriptures, they put together who Jesus really was. And they brought him gold, recognizing him as king. And they brought him frankincense, recognizing him as God. You see, in the Old Testament, God's people had to go to the temple to meet with God. Do you realize that? You don't have to come to church to meet with God because you don't have to find a human priest to help get you before the Lord. You have become a priest in God when you come to Jesus Christ. And you have but one mediator, and that is for you to go straight to Jesus Christ, who is our mediator to God the Father. One of the things that you would see at the altar whenever you would go in the Old Testament to worship was called the altar of incense. And only the priest was allowed to sprinkle on those hot coals of the altar the incense. And the smoke would rise up, symbolizing, does anybody remember? The prayers of the people. Here's what's interesting about the frankincense that they would drizzle on the hot coals. It was used only to make incense for the temple. Nobody could use it in their home. Nobody could use it for personal worship or personal use. Home use or personal use of the frankincense was prohibited. It was literally a controlled substance. By giving frankincense to Jesus, do you understand what it meant? These three wise men were recognizing Jesus Christ as more than just human. He was God. Otherwise, their giving of this frankincense as a gift would have been illegal and even blasphemous. But they were recognizing him not as just a human baby boy, but as the Son of God. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, the incarnation, God becoming man. And Jesus Christ, dear friends, remained God through his time here, and yet he laid aside his glory. He laid aside and personally gave up all rights to the glory of the kingdom, to be fully human while he lived here, to face all we face, to conquer all he needed to conquer. And he did it because he was the Lord our God, and he loved us so much. Jesus was not just a good man, as some religions might say. He was the God-man. These wise men knew that, and they worshiped him not only as the king, but as God. The third gift that they brought him, gold, frankincense, and say it with me, myrrh. They brought him myrrh because they recognized him as a suffering servant and king and Lord. Myrrh was a spice that was used to anoint bodies for burial. Do you understand what's being said? In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's recorded that the two Marys, Mary of Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with Salome, went to the tomb with spices. And among those spices was a heavy dose of myrrh. Why? To anoint the body of Jesus. And myrrh, dear friends, is what these men brought to Jesus. Now, what did that mean? As they came and they brought gold and frankincense and then myrrh, what did it mean? Well, let me just spell it out for you. We have a lot of baby showers. We got a lot of babies in our church. Praise the Lord. Let's raise them up in the love of the Father. But can you imagine having a baby shower and somebody at the baby shower presents to you a gift and the mama opens up the envelope and inside the envelope is a gift certificate to the funeral home? That's what the Magi did. They presented a gift for his funeral. It was a gift that was strange, but it had a powerful message because they knew that this child, this king, this deity was born with a mission to die for mankind. They knew this. And they were already worshiping him as the Savior by giving his life for his people. You know, some of you are still looking for a gift for somebody in your family or your friends. And the reason you're still looking is because some people are just hard to buy for. Sometimes they've got everything, and sometimes they don't want anything. Sometimes you just don't know what to get them. But some people are just hard to find an appropriate gift for. But let me ask you, how did these wise men do for Jesus, huh? Three beautifully appropriate gifts. So here's my closing question for you, dear friends. What will you bring Jesus, the King, the Lord, the Savior? What will you bring to him? Are you serving him? Are you returning to Jesus the spiritual gifts that he's given you? Some of you have, not some of you. If you are saved, if you are born again, you're a born again believer, God has given you a spiritual gift. Have you discovered it? Are you using it for him? You remember what the Bible taught us about talents and gifts. When you bury them, they're taken away from you if you don't use them for him. Are you using your gifts? Are you using even your worldly talents? Whether you can sing or play an instrument or you're a good organizer or so many different things. Are you using the gift he gave you to serve the Lord your God? Are you tithing? Are you giving offerings, which is above and beyond your tithe? Listen, the wise men made that trip that took them about 2 years. They made that trip because they knew who Jesus was. It wasn't just that they saw a star and said, well, let's go see what's going on. They read the prophecies. They knew. They brought him gold, recognizing him as the King of all kings. They brought him frankincense, recognizing him as God, as deity. And they brought him myrrh, recognizing him as our suffering Savior. In a season when God is forsaken for so many other financial priorities, could I ask you, believers in Christ, don't let Christ Jesus be forsaken. In a time that we celebrate him in his birth, don't forsake him. Honor him with your best. Honor him with what he's blessed you with. A gift fit for a king, for God, for our Savior. Would you bow with me in prayer? As you bow and as you pray, I must first ask you, would you consider this? Do you know Christ Jesus as your King? Have you surrendered? Have you bowed before him and said, my sovereign Lord, I surrender my all? Friend, if he's the King of the universe, and he is, doesn't he deserve to be the King of your life? He is going to sit on the throne in the millennium. And then he's going to sit on the throne of heaven for eternity. Shouldn't he sit on the throne of our hearts? Shouldn't he rule and reign in your life? Father, our prayer is that every heart here would recognize you as these wise men, as these magi did, as King, as Lord, and as Savior. We bless your name, Father, for being so good. Thank you. Would you talk to your Lord? Would you recognize him right now? Would you just, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to let you speak to him. Would you talk to him and recognize him as your King, as your God, as your Savior? Speak to the Lord. And if he speaks to your heart and you need someone to pray with you or for you, we're going to give you that opportunity.